This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are less than 2 weeks away from the kickoff of the NFL regular season, and now officially less than 24 hours out from college football week zero getting underway. Lots of NFL, lots of college football talk upon us as we welcome you into this hour two Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. Stormy Bonantoni with you. No Michael Lombardi today. Very grateful to have Mike Somich on the desk here at Circa Resort and Casino, host of The Handle every Saturday and Sunday here at the network. And I mean, it's crazy to think. We talk about the dog days of summer, how it's dragging on. We have nothing to do. Like, football is taking over our world right now, Mike.
It is. We got the final week of preseason. We're going to get roster cuts in the middle of this week. And we've got college football games that we can actually bet on starting tomorrow in Dublin.
Of all places, right?
Like,
of all places.
Because, you know, when you think Florida State, Georgia Tech, you think Dublin. At least it made sense with Notre Dame. Right? Like, what are we doing?
And for us here out in Las Vegas as well, it's a 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoff, I believe. It's like prime time out there, but here it's a little different.
I mean, tune into The Handle. I bet Georgia Tech team total over. That game kicks off at 9. You can watch me live sweat the thing.
You'll love to see it. We'll take a deep dive into college football in about 15 minutes as well. Jared Smith, VSiN host, is going to join us, get some of his thoughts, not only on week zero, but college football futures he has, who he thinks might be under the most pressure here in this 2024 college football season. So look forward to getting into that. We're also going to run the board of the weekend NFL preseason slate, letting you know who's in, who's out, at least as far as what coaches have shared publicly to this point. But real quickly off the top, you are a horse racing expert analyst here for us. Saratoga ongoing right now. I know, boo, race three. But fortunately, there's another race coming up you have thoughts on.
Yeah, this is the beauty of horse racing. If you want a little bit of a sweat, look, you're playing horses that are 3, 4, 5 to 1, right? So plus 300, plus 400, plus 500 to win. You maybe get one or two NFL teams a week that do that. You get 7 or 8 on a single card from Saratoga. So you get opportunities to be able to fire right back, trying to get the money back. My main goal is to really go 1 for 4. And that usually breaks even for me when I'm betting win bets, because I'm taking horses that are plus 400 or 4 to 1 or higher. We're going to run it right back here. Saratoga race number 4. Give me the number 4 horse, Power Seeker. I love me some Lone Speed, meaning that there's only one horse that wants to be in the front in a race. Power Seeker is that horse here in the 4th race from Saratoga. Going to go 1 mile. Trainer Linda Rice has her top jockey, Jose Lascano, on board. So we are going to break right from the gate, Stormy, go right to the lead, and we are not going to let anybody pass us. So we're going with the 4-horse Power Seeker here. Saratoga race number 4, 11 minutes to post. Currently getting 4 to 1 on Power Seeker.
And another tease for The Handle tomorrow, with it being Travers weekend, you're going to be locked and loaded on all the horse racing tomorrow as well.
Oh, tons of horse racing content. We're going to have an article up tomorrow around Saratoga's card for the Travers. There's an article up today. If you want to go over to VSiN.com, go to subscribe, get to the pro articles there, and you're able to check out 4 plays from Saratoga's card. All of those, I believe, start in race number 7 today. So still quite a bit of time to get in on those.
Okay. We have 3 NFL preseason games coming up tonight. We had 2 to kick off the finale weekend yesterday. Colts Bengals. Colts end up winning and covering as a 6.5-point favorite. 27-14, the final there. Anthony Richardson had some good, had some bad. Touchdown on the opening drive, made it look easy. Also threw a pick 6. Bears defeat the Chiefs 34-21 as well, but it was backup central. Kansas City, though, very interesting team, I think, coming off of back-to-back Super Bowls. Could they be a team in position to three-peat? Well, they're favored to do so. How do you view Kansas City?
I think Kansas City is one of the most interesting teams, which is odd to say for a team that is expected to be so good again and one that's won the last 2 Super Bowls. I have them, so I bet them to win the Super Bowl at plus 750 the day after they won the Super Bowl last year. I thought that they would make strides on the offensive side. We'll talk about that in a second. And I thought the defense wouldn't fall off as much as people expected. It was a defense that Matt and I on The Handle talked about being a top 5 defense from week 1, that this was a Kansas City defense that could be very good. Look, they're going to fall off a little bit on the defensive side of the ball because they've lost L'Jarius Sneed. They're going to have to remix essentially what they do from a cornerback and a slot perspective. McDuffie going to move to the outside. I do like quite a bit of their younger corners. I expect this defense to again get better as the year progresses along. They're going to get Charles Omenihu back week 7, week 8, something like that, off an ACL. He's going to be a big part of this pass rush. This offense, though, could be absolutely dynamic. The football geek in me gets so excited I start knocking the microphone around about this offense. The offensive line, first off, has the best interior 3 in the entire NFL, right? So the two guards and the center, best interior offensive
who
line.
Just got paid like he is the best center in the National Football League,
Creed Humphrey,
by the
way. Enjoying today. He's having a good day. He popped some bottles last night. The tackles were atrocious. Like, the bar for them to be better is so low that I would expect you see a big-time improvement. Look, Juwan Taylor, everyone made fun of him because of how he lined up last year. He was not good from a blocking perspective. I think he can't be worse than last year. And then you look at Kingsley, and I'm sorry, Kingsley, I'm going to butcher your last name here, Sumataia.
Well,
we'll try. Hey. Like, the rumors is that Veach wanted to take him in the first round. This is a tackle out of BYU who is a rookie. He ends up going for at pick 61 for them. I think he's going to be a big upgrade at left tackle. He's won the starting job now in Kansas City. And then I look what they did at the wide receiver room. And I realize Marquise Brown, Xavier Worthy, it's not like they're picking up a number one guy. But the football geek in me, with what they can do from a route tree perspective now, with being able to have two guys that can stretch the field, and you put Kelsey, let's say you put Kelsey with Brown and you put Rice with Worthy, the route combinations you can run to run safeties off of guys who are exceptional catch and run guys, short passes on the Kelsey and the Rice side, is so intriguing to me, because you're going to be able to see Worthy and Brown take off the top of the defense on both sides of the field and create space underneath for guys that we have seen can catch short passes and make big gains off of them. And then even like Carson Steele, who I think is one of the players that you got to be talking about if you like the Chiefs here, he looked great in the preseason last year. Rookie running back out of UCLA. He played very well. I think he is kind of talked himself into that third running back there for them. So you've got Pacheco, you've got CEH, and then you're going to have Steele there as well. And he runs angry, much like Pacheco. This is an offense that without you have Mahomes, you've got Kelsey. I think this is a top three offense in the NFL this year.
Well, and it's like if they won on the backs of their defense last year, you had Patrick Mahomes that was able to lead the way, save the day in the postseason, do what he needed to do. Now, if you actually have that offense come together in addition to the defensive success, we're able to keep Steve Spagnuolo. Lord knows the 49ers tried to take him as defensive coordinator. I agree. And I think what's really interesting, too, from your thought process about the Chiefs as a whole, talking about how there's a difference between being a great regular season team and a postseason team, and the way that they turn it on is you feel, and you've said it, you feel that they are clearly should be the Super Bowl favorite, as they are, but they're your third ranked power ranked team. So I wonder how that adjusts your view of this team, particularly early on in the season, coming off of a Super Bowl win.
It makes them difficult to bet, because you like you said, look, I have San Francisco as the number one power rated team. The Lions is two. I have the Chiefs at three. And I believe this Chiefs team has a chance to improve consistently throughout the year. It's one of the reasons I think they should be the Super Bowl favorite. We've seen them consistently improve throughout the year, the last couple seasons, to be able to make these Super Bowl runs. And they've got young players who are stepping up who should get better. And you've got Patrick Mahomes coming along, Spagnuolo coaching them up. Like, it's a team that peaks at the right time consistently. It's one of the reasons I was surprised there were dogs in multiple postseason games last year. But they're still not today the best team on paper. We've also seen them struggle in the regular season. This hasn't been and I say struggle, they still win 12 games every year, but they've not been a team that is a great against the spread team because of what they're trying to do offensively and how they're trying to get better. It's hard to power rate them as the best team when, look, if San Francisco and Kansas City played on a neutral in week one, I would make San Francisco a point favorite. I think they're the better team week one. Does that mean they're going to be the better team in the wild card round or the Super Bowl? I don't think so. And so that's why right now I mean,
that hurts my feelings, but go on.
Well, you know, I said they were I have them power rated number one. This should be a positive thing. I do think there's a better chance they fall down than they improve off their current, okay. So you're not something for another day.
And that is how we move on to our next time. So we do have three preseason games that are coming up today. The Jags opened a 4.5-point favorite. I'm now seeing 7 in Atlanta against the Falcons, total 35.5. Miami opened a 1.5-point favorite. That has flipped with Baker Mayfield now starting for the Bucks. Tampa laying 3. That total up 3 points to 37.5. And another flip of favorites, the Raiders opened a 3.5-point favorite against San Francisco, who we're just talking about. San Francisco now a 7-point favorite with Brock Purdy and the starters getting action. That total has gone down 3 points to 32.5. Any of these games you have particular interest or money invested in today?
I bet all three games. I bet more on the first two. So Jags minus seven. I took some Jags at minus six. I played them again at minus seven. I think they have a massive advantage. Just from a quarterback perspective, you got Trevor Lawrence, who's going to play against the number twos for the Falcons. And then you've got Mac Jones, who's going to come in and finish the rest of the game against the threes and the fours. This has also been a Jaguars team that's been very good on both sides of the football so far throughout the preseason. I think they continue to do that. So give me the Jags minus seven. The Dolphins and the Bucks, I'm surprised we've seen the move toward the over. This is a game that took steam when Baker came in, moved up 4 points. It got as high as 38. I played the under 37.5 here in this spot. We talked about the Dolphins quarterbacks. They've been absolutely atrocious throughout this preseason. I've got no interest in the Dolphins quarterbacks trying to put points on the board. And it's not like after Baker, there's much over there in Tampa as well from a quarterback perspective. And I think we get a series, maybe two, from Baker. Like, maybe that's 6 points expected. Like, so I'm willing to take the under here on 37.5, a game that's steamed up. And then I'll take the Raiders plus seven. This is my smallest bet, Stormy. So not completely bashing your Niners here, but
listen,
I do have a little Raiders plus seven.
I don't care about your preseason bets against my team. It's the fadum for the Super Bowl that makes me depressed, but go on.
The line moved 10.5 points. That's a little extreme in my mind. Like, just a little extreme here, especially for a Niners team that hasn't really blown anybody out in the preseason. And the total's 32.5.
Yeah.
You're catching seven in a 32.5. So a little sprinkle on the Raiders. That's my least favorite of the three.
Everybody's anti the 49ers. We talked about this a little bit earlier in hour one as well. That Monday night football game against the Jets. Jets taking a bunch of monies. That number continues to move down. I have faith in them. I hope that it is a successful season, but the expectations are very, very high, whereas there's a lot of question marks, I think, about this roster and who can stay healthy and who's going to be on the field, period. That's
the key. They have the best roster in football. Can they have the best roster in December in football?
Second shortest shot, by the way, to those Kansas City Chiefs to win it all this year. We're going to hit the break when we come back. Jared Smith talking Week 0 college football action next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Mike Domich in for Michael Lombardi today, alongside Stormy Bonatoni. As we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line, we are less than 24 hours away from kicking off the college football season, Week 0, which I still strongly disagree with the name of this week.
It should be just Week 1.
Week 1.
Yeah.
Let's just go. I don't know what's happening.
There's no contract we have a certain number of weeks. Just make it Week 1.
Even the NCAA president was at our ESPN college football meetings earlier this month, and he said, I still don't know why we do this. Well, you have the power to invoke change, sir. Anyways,
nice flex.
We will move on. Jared Smith joins us, VSiN host. You can also catch him this football season every weekend on Fox Sports Radio. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, dive into some of these Week 0 games. There are four involving FBS teams, but the big one, as we were just referencing, in Dublin to kick things off, Florida State and Georgia Tech. I feel like everybody's got involvement in this game, so where do you sit?
Oh, yeah, well, first of all, if 0 is not a number, then do these games even exist? So if you lose your bets this week, it doesn't count against your record, right? Because Week 0 doesn't exist. But this is obviously the headliner. It's going to be the fifth game played at Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland. The overs are 2-2. You don't see a huge trend. I remember watching this game last year, Navy and Notre Dame. I was looking for something in the field conditions to maybe say, hey, you want to trend under here. Not exactly something I would be betting just based off of that. However, it is kind of obvious to me, if you're playing in Week 0, based on the numbers I see when you go ahead and play Week 1 teams, there's no advantage to showing your cards early. And I think this kind of lends better to some of the lesser games on the board with the really big favorites. But I would be looking to play a lot of unders this week. In this particular game with Florida State, you would expect them to be back at the level they were last year, but they did lose a lot. Now they bring in a lot, and I think Mike Norvell's a great coach. Georgia Tech's got a little bit of juice too. I really like the quarterback, Haynes King. The defense was atrocious last year. The offense was really good. I think if they continue that trend this year, they'll get back into a bowl game. And I do think this Georgia Tech team can compete. So a little bit of sharp money early on the Ramblin' Wreck, but I would say Florida State should win. They should win handily, and I would lean to the under here.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot here. Now, you mentioned the totals and talking about the unders here in Week 0. What do you make of the fact that you're going to have the communication from the sidelines now in college football? Do you think that's going to make a difference on the totals? Is there any way that you're looking to play those totals or specific teams or coaches because of that adjustment?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mike. And again, it's kind of like with the college football playoff this year, the denominator changes with the amount of teams that are in. It changes the market. You know, betting on teams to make the college football playoff is just, it's a completely different set of mental gymnastics you have to play. And you make a really good point about the communication, too. Now, the one difference is they've been practicing with it all summer. I hope they have been. And so you would expect there to be not as much uncertainty as we get to week zero or week one, because, again, they've been dealing with it all summer. But teams specifically this week, I'll tell you what, that Delaware State Hawaii game, if Hawaii shows anything this week, they're a 40-point favorite against Delaware State. I know nothing about Delaware State except there's no state tax in Delaware. That's about the only thing I can tell you about this team. But if you're showing anything in this game, when you've got UCLA on deck next week, I'd be very surprised. So with the games, again, that are involving the lesser teams against those FBS opponents, it just, I would be shocked if we see these run and gun, high flying offenses with all the good stuff being let out of the bag here early in the season.
That game is going to be a mess. And we mentioned earlier as well, like, it's also going to be very heavy wind and heavy rain expected on the forecast in that game. Who knows what we're going to get? And it's so strange just to see Hawaii as such a big favorite because they're Hawaii. Yes. And we all know what they have been in recent history. When it comes to this weekend, though, obviously the slate is small. Are there any other games, whether it's on the week one slate, that you're excited about? Or do you have action in other games coming up this weekend? What do you think there?
I haven't looked at week one yet. I probably should start looking at week one, but I will say this. I'm probably going to be fading a lot of the teams that play this week, because the trend that I've noticed over the last 2 years, teams that play in week zero are 5-13 against the spread in week one when they play a team that didn't play the prior week. And that just makes so much sense. All the coaches that are playing in week one that don't have a game this week are on their butts watching everything that takes place with all of these week zero games. They're scouting. The week zero teams have to put stuff on tape. And that's not an advantage, especially early in the season when the shroud of mystery around college football, unlike the NFL where there's cameras in practice, you get to see a lot what's going on behind the scenes. You don't get that in college football. So if there's one thing to keep in the back of your mind this week, the teams that play this week, I would downgrade them a little bit next week, especially when they're playing a team that didn't play in week zero.
And it's kind of counterintuitive because you would think, oh, a team that has now a game under their belt is going to be a little bit sharper, right? They've run their offense. They understand what it's like to be on the field for a game. But I agree with you. The ability to be able to watch film and break down and how you want to attack offensively and defensively against these teams that have played gives an advantage to those teams that are sitting on the couch this week. Now, with me, one of my favorite markets in college football, the Heisman Award market. I think this is one of the more interesting years for a Heisman Trophy. Six of the top eight are all quarterbacks in the SEC. Dylan Gabriel took a ton of money, both professional and public, to be moved up to the favorite in this market. What do you make of this specific market? And do you have any bets in your account that you're leading into the season with?
I think this market's becoming easier to handicap. I mean, you just pick the teams that are going to do well, and you try to get the right one that's maybe mid-priced, and then you capitalize on that team's quarterback. I mean, I think as much as this is obviously a player's market, I think the team handicap here is essential. They are not picking a Heisman Trophy winner that doesn't have at least some kind of semblance of team success. Doesn't have to be maybe a national championship, but it has to have at least some kind of upside to their season. So if you think a team is going to be 7-5 this year, or 6-6, I'm not picking that team's quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy. And I think that's what scares me with a lot of these SEC quarterbacks, Mike. I mean, some of them are going to have really good years, but some of them aren't. And there's a lot of really good teams in the SEC. I've heard a lot of buzz on the Tennessee kid. I'm not that high on Tennessee this year. So I don't know if I'm willing to make a wager on him, even though I think the numbers short are a little bit too heavy and it's going to come down if Tennessee starts to play well, because he's a really good player. Like, the win equity for some of these guys, I think, is shorter. I think Gabriel makes sense. Ewers makes a ton of sense, especially if Texas, you know, competes year one in the SEC and he's not the highest priced guy on the board. Milroe too. I mean, goodness gracious. Kalen DeBoer has won everywhere he's been. Do we think with an SEC budget and SEC athletes, he's not going to make Jalen Milroe look like an absolute rock star this year? They didn't have a whole lot at receiver last year, and Milroe was still sixth in the Heisman voting. So, again, pick the teams that you think that are going to have those high, high years, and you find those quarterbacks, and those are usually the good bets to make in the Heisman market.
It feels like one of the almost one of the qualifiers you have to make the playoff. If you're going to win the Heisman, you have to make the playoff. And so you've got to focus in on teams that you believe can make the playoff. One of those teams that I like and the Heisman bet that I have is Avery Johnson for Kansas State. I think the Big 12 absolutely wide open. Is there any teams that you like coming out of that Big 12?
I mean, it makes sense with Utah, but I think the toughest thing with handicapping the conferences this year is the travel and the consistency. I remember when I used to work in the Sun Belt down, you know, back when FAU was in the Sun Belt, I was calling women's basketball games for FAU. And we went to the same hotel in Troy, Alabama, every single year, in Mobile, Alabama, every single year. We knew our pregame meal. We knew where we were going. Everything was the same. And it's not going to be the case for, I would say, what, half of the teams in college football this year. And it's not only the teams that are moving to a new conference. The teams that were already in that conference now have to go to new venues as well. So there's just so much cross permutations going on across college football right now. Utah and Kansas State make the most sense. But of all the conferences in the high, the Power Five, the Big 12 absolutely is the most wide open. I would not be shocked if a team from the middle of the pack, if a team, a newcomer team won it. Whereas in the SEC and the Big 10, I probably would be surprised if, you know, not a Georgia or an Alabama, not an Ohio State, not a Penn State, not a Michigan won the conference this year. Absolutely, the Big 12 is going to be kind of like the Wild West.
Well, let's go there in the SEC, because one of those players that you mentioned was Jalen Milroe at 14-1. One of the bets that you have in our VSiN college football betting guide is Alabama to make the playoff. Why do you like that wager at that price? And what are some of your other favorite futures going into the season?
Yeah, so I think the skill position group with Bama is the biggest question here. They have just a million, it's an embarrassment of riches of top 100 recruits. The question is, how do they all fit together? That's where you just have to trust Kalen DeBoer, who, again, everywhere he's been has won. The defense is going to be really good. The run defense is going to be exceptional for Alabama this year. They get pretty much everybody back. Obviously, in the secondary, lost a lot, bunch of guys taken in the NFL. But I just trust Kalen DeBoer. And again, it's all about the pricing in this market. We have no idea what the process, what the voting is going to be like week to week when we start getting these releases from the committee, who's going to make the playoff, who's in, who's out. I just thought, and it's kind of gone to odds on now, but I got it at plus 110. I think Alabama to make the playoff at better than a coin flip's price. I mean, that just seemed crazy to me. I think the biggest team that'll have the toughest transition in the SEC this year is Oklahoma. They lose everybody on the offensive line. You got to go week to week in a new conference, the toughest conference, with a brand new offensive line. I'm not very high on the offense anyways when you lose Dillon Gabriel. I trust Brent Venables as a defensive coach, but I think that Oklahoma offense, especially in the trenches, will wear down as the season goes on. So under 7.5 wins, Oklahoma, and Bama to make the playoff. Those are the two bets I gave out in the VSiN college football guide.
Love it. Jared, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the time, and don't work too hard. Double duty VSiN and Fox Sports Radio covering all things football. We appreciate you.
We're running fast this year, Snorri. Rack up those airline miles.
Yes, way to be. Jared Smith, everybody, happy to have him on the Progressive guest line. And a good reminder, too, that college football betting guide out now, in-depth previews of all 134 teams. We've got trends. We've got all the information you need, breakdowns, best bets, vsin.com/subscribe.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Mike Somich in for Michael Lombardi today. So we're back here on the Lombardi Line getting into all things NFL preseason. We talked earlier in the hour about the three games that are coming up tonight, but we do have a full slate of games coming up over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I'll just start here. Like, is there a game in particular that really caught your eye this week where you've thought that there could be an angle or an advantage to jump on?
Yeah, I mean, from a betting perspective, this game caught my eye. I have zero interest in watching it because of what I think is going to happen on the field.
I feel like, but that's most preseason games, right?
Yeah, well, I like watching. I like football. I watch too much football. Look, the Ravens are at the Packers. Let's just look at a situational spot here, which you rarely say in preseason. The Ravens play Thursday against the Chiefs. The Packers get on a flight to Brazil. Do we think either of these teams give one iota about this football game and that you're going to try and get any type of, like, lots of plays in here? No. The offenses are going to be incredibly vanilla. You're not going to see anywhere near any of the starters. This is going to be a get on the field, get off the field, get on the playing game for both of these teams. Prepare for the next week. Total sitting right now at 33.5, down a little bit from 34.5, which it opened at. I still love the under in this spot. There is zero zero reason for either of these teams to try at all in this game because of what you're looking forward to. That Ravens-Chiefs game is a big game for the Ravens. That is literally a week away here, or getting close to the season here. And then the Packers got to go to Brazil. I think this is one of those spots where neither of these teams are going to put forth very much effort in the final preseason game.
And hey, listen, unders have been your friend so far this preseason, with the exception of last night prior to the two games yesterday, 26-6 to the under. And I mean, that's still a very dominant number. We'll see if any of that straightens out and we adjust back to the mean a little bit this week, but an under to look at for sure. When you think about that Packers-Eagles game, though, that is coming up Friday, September 6th, it'll be here quickly. The Eagles are 2.5-point favorite in that spot, total 48.5. Have you had any early thoughts on the expectations there in Brazil?
I laid one with the Eagles early in the offseason. This is one of the games I bet because we had so much Packers steam. Mm-hmm. The market just loved this Packers team. I think it's for good reason. I think you have a very big opportunity to step forward on the defensive side with a switch at the DC. You've got a lot of younger players on the offensive side. Jordan Love was, I was a big Jordan Love guy during the preseason last year, and that obviously paid benefits toward the end of the season. I think he has a chance to take a step forward. This wide receiver room wasn't healthy at all last year. I understand the love for the Packers, but you're betting on the come with the Packers. The Eagles, you are betting on what you know. This was an Eagles team that was 11-1 after 12 weeks last year. They are going to be very good out of the gate. I think that they've improved on the offensive side of the ball. I like the fact that we've got a new OC in there. If you look at what Kellen Moore has done from an offensive perspective with the Cowboys when he was there, two of the five seasons, he was the number one. They were the number one scoring offense in the NFL. He goes to the Chargers last year. You look at their play action rate. You look at their motion rate, both top 10 in the NFL. The Eagles were one of the slowest teams last year. They were 28th in pace of play. The Chargers were 7th. You're going to see no huddle introduced into this Eagles offense. You're going to see motion introduced to this Eagles offense. Both of that makes Jalen Hurts' job a lot easier. I think you're going to see the Eagles come out of the gate very well. I agree with the market move in the NFC East. I agree with the market move here to 2.5. I would still be Eagles or nothing here, up to a field goal.
Well, and quite frankly, when it comes to Green Bay, I know Jordan Love is the richest quarterback in the NFL right now, but it was 10 games that we're really basing that on. And I'm still not 100% sold on what Jordan Love is as a starting quarterback yet. He was unbelievable the back half of the season, don't get me wrong. But we saw a little bit of the Jekyll and Hyde, and I'm not 100% sure who this kid is fully yet. The Packers are a team that I do think is on the rise, but to your point about Philadelphia, they're stacked.
Yep.
They did nothing but bolster their defense. The addition of Saquon Barkley, I think, is huge for how many weapons and talent they already have on that side of the ball. Jalen Hurts took a little bit of a step back last year. I know there was some cause for concern, his relationship with Nick Sirianni. But if you have that dialed in and you're in a different place and you worked out some of the kinks this offseason, I feel like the Eagles could be really good and come out strong out the gates. Think about even last year with this Philadelphia team. For all the problems and holes they had, they started the season 10-1.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal start to the season for them. And they hit the stretch of the schedule that we all said was going to be absolutely atrocious. There's just a murderer's row of teams there in the middle of their schedule that derailed their season. This is still a very, very good Philly team. And the Sirianni and Hurts things, I think is very interesting, because injecting Kellen Moore in the middle of that relationship is going to be an extremely positive thing, because Kellen Moore wants to do more of the things that Hurts wanted to do and Sirianni didn't want to do. The fact that Moore comes in and takes over the offense and Sirianni puts his hands back, I think it's going to be positive for that relationship. I think it's going to be interesting coming out of the gate. And you mentioned Saquon Barkley. This is by far the best offensive line he's ever run behind.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this is just a very dynamic football team. I liked what they did in the draft. They got a very good cornerback. Like, I'm an Eagles guy now. I don't even know how.
You literally go from one of the worst offensive lines in the National Football League to one of the best. So it's going to be fun to watch. The Eagles season win total sitting at 10.5. They're an odds-on favorite in the division now. High expectations, certainly, for the Eagles, and I think rightfully so. So we mentioned their preseason game against the Vikings. The Packers also laying 3 against the Ravens. So probably a similar strategy for that preseason game.
Yeah, I like the Vikings plus the 2.5 points because of what we're going to see from the Eagles here. I like the under in that game because I don't think you're going to see a ton from the Ravens and the Packers. So I'm looking for situations in week one which are unique, right? The Sooner games on the schedule, the games that you have massive travel, like going to Brazil. And so I'm targeting those teams here in the final week of the preseason. So Vikings plus 2.5 for me, fading the Eagles because of the Brazil trip. And then the Ravens and the Packers under 33.5. Because you've got that opening Thursday night game and the Brazil trip for those two teams.
Some young quarterbacks in action. We're going to see, while Jacoby Brissett will start for the Patriots at Commanders, Patriots laying 4. We'll see plenty of Drake May in that one as well. Total 33.5. Also, Bryce Young going to get his first action in the preseason this year. Panthers laying 4.5 in Buffalo against the Bills. Buffalo sitting everybody, and they should, because the injury bug has been piling up on them. Total there 30.5 right now.
Yeah, very low, yes. Very low there. Yes, yes. And it's come down. I can't get behind the under at 30.5. It feels like you could almost stumble over 30.5 at this point, especially with the new kickoff rule and some of the field position uplifts we've seen there. For me, it's Panthers or pass at 4.5. I'm not going to get to the window on this because I have no clue what these lineups are going to look like in the second half. I've been scouring to try and find a -2.5 Panthers first half. I have not been able to find one. There's some threes out there. If that ticks to 2.5, I'll end up betting the Panthers in the first half.
The Giants, a 2.5-point favorite against the Jets. Total 31 there, so another very low total. No Aaron Rodgers. The rest of the Jets starters are going to be sitting this one out. Tyrod Taylor also sitting, so Adrian Martinez expected to be the starter there. UFL, let's go. But the Giants, so I don't have a play on this game. I don't know if you do, but the Giants are a team that, to me, I feel like could be competing for the number one pick in the draft this year. I think they're going to be really bad.
Ooh, I'm glad we're not in the call me crazy
I should have
segment.
Put that in the
I'm
call
glad
me crazy
we're not
segment.
There. I might get in trouble.
Better come correct. No, okay, what's up? Why do you like the Giants? Why do you think Daniel Jones is one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league? Just kidding. Go
wow.
on.
Wow. Just putting words in my mouth, Stormy. The Patriots are really bad. Like, really, really historically bad. I don't think enough is being made of this. I guess it is. I mean, their win total was 5.5.
I
got
didn't
bet
say
down
they'll
to
for
4.5.
Sure have the number one pick, but they're going to be contending.
I think the Patriots are going to win 0 or 1 games this year.
Really?
I think it's going to be that bad. I bet them least wins. I bet them longest. I bet them the last team to win a football game as well at 5-1. I think the Patriots are historically bad, and the schedule did absolutely no favors for them. I don't know what you think about this, but if they play Drake May at all this season, I think it's a massive mistake.
I agree.
You cannot put him out there with that talent, with that offensive line. You will break him. Like, we've seen rookie quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, a good example. He got broken on the Jets. He never had a chance to be good. That's the same thing you're going to have with your third overall pick in Drake May if you put him out there
Well, Patriots. And so that's why Michael and I have talked on the show. Like, a personal frustration I have right now with Jerod Mayo and his approach is that early in the offseason, he was very clear about a plan of development that he wanted to have in place for Drake May. Jacoby Brissett's going to be the bridge. We're going to give the opportunity for May to sit back, learn, get the experience of what it's like to be in an NFL room, fix the footwork, fix a lot of the little things that he needs to get dialed in. And then last week, you hear him asked in a radio interview, does Drake May have an opportunity to be the week one starter? And he says 100%.
Yeah, and the problem with that means there's a 100% chance he plays this year.
Yes, we all still expect Jacoby Brissett to be the week one starter, but yes, that opens the door so much more for Drake May to hit the field for significant action this season.
If I was in his situation, I would have said there is zero chance he plays this year. And then if he does, great. Like, you have an upside you can talk about.
I don't want 100% or 0%. Just give us some gray area.
under promise, over deliver. You talk about it in sales, in life. Under promise, over deliver. If you say 0% chance and then he plays one game, the fan base is ecstatic, right? And he can be terrible. They're still excited that he's out there, that he's seeing him because he's progressed that much, right? Under promise, over deliver, especially in these situations where you know if you put him out there, you're going to be in trouble.
Couple other lines to hit you with, but I'm in complete agreement. The Steelers go from a 3-point favorite to 6.5 against the Lions. We are going to see both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as we try to see who's ultimately going to win that battle. Russell Wilson going on. Rams +3.5 in Houston against the Texans, total 33.5. Chargers +3.5 at the Cowboys, total 33. The Browns are getting 1 in Seattle, who's one of your favorite teams this season, total 36.5. Last two, Titans -3 at the Saints, Cardinals +4 at the Broncos.
Yeah, the quarterback situation is like my lunch situation, right? I should get a salad for lunch, but I will be getting a hamburger, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're getting a frosted Pop-Tart. Have a little throwback.
Well, maybe with a little butter on it, right?
Yeah, that's the way.
I can't even fathom the butter
thing.
Still blows my mind.
Everyone in my family says, if there is something that's already unhealthy, Stormy will find a way to make it more unhealthy. And that's just Exhibit A. It is what it is.
Need a Stormy cookbook.
We are going to get Mike Somich's best bets for the day when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Closing out this Friday edition of the Lombardi Line, wherever you're watching or listening, VSiN.com, YouTube TV, the iHeartRadio app. You can even tell Alexa, hey, turn on VSiN on iHeartRadio. Wherever you are, we really, really appreciate it. This has been a fun couple hours, Mike. And now it's time for what everybody wants on a daily basis here. Picks. And you're locked and loaded. You've got a ton of them today. So you want to start in preseason? You start in Major League Baseball. Where are you at?
I'm flipping the script on you. We're going to go back to Saratoga. We got one more race before the show's over. We actually have 1 minute to this race. So if you want to get involved, get involved now here. This is the first stakes race of the weekend here at Saratoga. 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Your favorite, the four horse, Roses for Deborah, even money.
Ooh, I like that name.
I think she's going to win. I don't like betting even money horses, though, Stormy. So we are going to play in a cold exacta here. So exact order, first and second place. Roses for Deborah in first. Second place, the three-horse Star Guest. The European Turf Sprinter has come over here for Charlie Appleby. When he sends horses over, they run well. Don't Love the Seven, who's your second choice future, is now here. So 4-3 cold exacta. Right now it's paying 7-1.
Beautiful. Beautiful. See, I like that you get creative with it because, no, we don't like even money bets in horse racing. It's just that simple. I'm partial to an exacta box. That's usually the way I play things. But, you know, I guess I'll trust the expert, whatever.
I'm all about when you have an opinion, just hammer that opinion in any betting, right? If it's craps, have an aggressive strategy, because if you're there for the one roll, you win a bunch of money, get the heck out of there, because long term you're going to lose. Horse racing, if you have an opinion, you got to just hammer it.
Yeah.
And you got to hope you're right, because if you, in those situations where your opinion is correct, you need to get paid. If you don't, you don't win money. Like, that's just that simple in horse racing. So I'm not a huge boxing fan. However, if you're going for fun, and this is the difference of like, hey, is it a fun day at the track? Yeah, box it up, right? If you're trying to make some money, I like the straight bets.
Okay, fair. And I trust you because this is what you do. And by the way, on the handle tomorrow, Mike Somich, Matt Brown, going to dive into all of the weekend races. So you'll get your full coverage there tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. But also, okay, so in addition to that, you do have other things. So
yeah, I do.
What do you have in Major League Baseball today?
Now I will answer your question. Yeah, give me the Astros here, -120. They're taking on the Orioles here. Povich on the mound for Baltimore. He is a analytics darling in a lot of ways right now. His ERA 5.77, not very good. His xERA, so expected ERA, sitting closer to the 4 mark, so almost a full 2-run difference. Let's go ahead and fade that. That's why you're seeing the Orioles here take some money with someone who's 1-6 with a 5.77 ERA on the mound. Hunter Brown on the other side been phenomenal for this Astros team. He's 11-7, 3.82 ERA. His expected ERA, almost a full run less than that. Astros have been streaking. I realize the Orioles maybe the best team in baseball, but we're going to go against them today. We're going to lay the -118 here with the Astros. And then we're going to go back to one of my favorite bets, Stormy. We've talked about this quite a few times on here. I've only found this at DraftKings. Will a team bat in the bottom of the ninth? I still think this is wildly mispriced. I feel like you should be close to the actual money line. Right now, Seattle, -145 to win today. The Mariners taking on the Giants. You've got Hunter Birdsong on the hill for the Giants, rookie pitcher. Luis Castillo on the hill for Seattle. I have this game sitting right around -150 for Seattle. So just a slight edge versus the -148 current money line. However, will the Mariners bat bottom nine? -105. I will take the 45 cents juice off the number here and play. Will the Mariners bat in the bottom of the ninth? No. -105. I like the pitching matchup. I like the hitting matchup here. I think the Mariners are significantly better from a baseball perspective. They also just can their manager. That usually gets that quick bump from a team. So I'm going to go with the Mariners today, -105 to not bat in the bottom of the ninth.
This is really interesting. And I'm so glad that you found this market on DraftKings. At what point do you think they're going to catch up to these numbers being so off?
I don't know.
Especially because keep talking about it on television.
And I've gotten multiple people who've hit me up on DM on X and said, hey, like, yeah, I agree with this. And I know that Sharp Money brought it up to Steve Fezzik, and he's like, nope, Mike's right. This is mispriced. It should be closer to this specific money line. And when I'm talking about closer to it, so you've got two separate ways to bet baseball, right? You've got the money line, in this case, Seattle -148. You've got the run line, which is Seattle -1.5 +150. So dead center of that would be Seattle +100, right? That, to me, doesn't accurately show the odds that this is going to happen from a team batting in the bottom of the ninth. The heavier the favorite, the closer it should be shaded toward the money line that they don't bat in the bottom of the ninth specifically. I feel like in this situation, you should almost be a 60-40, 65-35 split toward the money line versus the run line. And when you're a heavier favorite, -210, -230, you should almost be 80 to 90% of the money line versus closer to the run line. And it's the exact opposite. It's closer to the run line, the heavier the favorite is. So it's a great way to play minus 230 favorites and lay minus 140 juice. And in this case, it's a great way to play a minus 150 favorite and lay minus 105, less than the minus 110 normal vig for that team to not bat in the bottom of the ninth, essentially win the game in regulation.
Good stuff. Mike and I in the preseason tonight, both on the under in the Dolphins-Bucks game. I know you're laying it with the Jags and you're taking the points with the Raiders as they take on the San Francisco 49ers here in Vegas. And by the way, all of these picks available at VSiN.com, VSiN.com/picks. If you're a subscriber, you get the picks. You get everything we have to offer on VSiN Pro. Now through the Super Bowl, only $175. And I swear to you, that is just worth the price for the guides alone, let alone everything else we do. So it is very, very valuable. The racing stuff as well. Mike's on VSiN.com with regular articles breaking things down there. I want to close out the show with a little game because what can I say? It's what I do. Typically, when Mike Palm is in on Fridays, we play Would Palm Have a Qualm? That doesn't rhyme with Samich, and I was really struggling to find things that rhyme with Samich. So I've just stuck with Mike. I hope that's okay.
That's fine.
And so I'm going to throw a few bets at you. Does Mike like them, or do they make you want to say psych? And I could have said like or dislike, but that's just not my style. So let's go through here rapid fire. Does Mike like or say psych? Does CJ Stroud and Joe Burrow both to have more than 4,000 passing yards this year? The price is just plus 210. Is that enough?
Psych at the price. Okay. I think there's a good chance they do, but 2-1, not enough for me here, especially with Burrow coming back off the injury. Heard some talk about his ball in training camp, little concerns there. And I'm a Houston under guy. I just don't think we can assume that against a much better schedule, you're going to see CJ Stroud and Houston excel again. So I'll say psych on that one.
And the Houston Texans aren't sneaking up on anybody anymore after that historic season. So how about this? The Denver Broncos, people are very high on Bo Nix and what they've seen from him in the preseason, although the season win total is still only 5.5. But Denver Broncos in this offense to score one touchdown or more in every game this regular season, plus 275. All you need is one a game.
God, it feels like such a sucker bet. But I like Denver. I have over 5.5 win total. I have a Bo Nix Rookie of the Year ticket. I think this Denver team's going to be good. I think they're going to be improved. I think the Chargers finished fourth in this division.
Ooh, see, that's a hot take. I know you're on the underside of the Chargers. That's a team that's been really hard for me to grapple with because initially when Jim Harbaugh was hired, I was all in. He turns around franchises, college teams, whatever it is, year one, instant gratification. The talent here with the Chargers, I just don't know if you can get there. And their win total is 8.5.
Hubbard is bare. And now you have the plantar fasciitis issue with Herbert as well. That's something that lingers. That's not something that just gets better. It's something that can get aggravated at any point during the season. Ladd McConkey, number one wide receiver. What? No.
Still that last, though? So Raiders, Broncos, you think they're ahead?
I'm over on the Raiders team total, over on the Broncos team total, under on the Chargers team total.
So we talk about Bo Nix. There's been a lot of hype about him in his rookie season. Everybody's also glowing about Caleb Williams. They were talking a bunch about J.J. McCarthy before he went down with the meniscus tear. I don't think enough people are talking about Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Like or psych, Jaden Daniels to have 400 passing yards in a game this year?
Psych. No.
Is it because of the dual threat ability or just you don't think he can do it?
I am more scared for Jaden Daniels getting injured than any other rookie quarterback this year. The man did not slide in college. He took
some bad hits.
He was okay with getting popped, and now you have faster, bigger people popping him. I am concerned you're going to have an Anthony Richards situation with Jaden Daniels this year.
Okay, and that's not good. We're never rooting for injuries, obviously, but hey, potentially target and under. Maybe don't draft him in fantasy if you think that he's not going to be able to stay up for you. With Daniels, though, in terms of the passing yards, the reason this is a psych for me as well is, Jahan Dotson's gone now. Who do you have behind Terry McLaurin? That wide receiver group is not great.
People also don't realize.
But I love Jaden Daniels, though. I think he's going to have a good year, all that to say, but the receiving corps,
He was playing behind a better offensive line last year at LSU. And with a better wide receiver room. The offensive line isn't great in Washington either. This is going to be a run for your life Jaden Daniels season.
Saquon Barkley to score 4+ regular season touchdowns in his meeting with the New York Giants. In a meeting. You get 2 tries in the division.
You do. I believe he has to score 4 total.
Is that what the bet is?
4 total in the 2 games.
That's better. I like that.
I'm going like too. I think he wants, after Hard Knocks and then putting the conversation on it without him knowing, how do you have him on speaker? And he doesn't know he's on speaker and you put it on Hard Knocks, he's pissed. Let's go.
One more. You didn't like Jaden Daniels to have 400 passing yards. What about Tua? Led the league in passing yards. Going to have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle.
Now, this is the first 400 passing yard game of the season. 10-1. I like it. Let's go. Dolphins, baby. That offense is going to be humming.
See, I think, yeah, Tua, but can Tua stay healthy? Because I know you're suspect on Miami in general this year as well.
I am. I have big concerns on the defense. I think the offense is going to be very good, and that the schedule late is going to be rough. I like playing Miami win total under after week 7 or 8.
I need to be better at reading these props that we put together. Next time.
I would like that.
Appreciate you. Check out the handle tomorrow. Mike Somich, Matt Brown, Saturday and Sunday. Get you locked and loaded. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sharp Money is coming up next.